Welcome to the Daily Canon Podcast.
When I was a kid, the first Arsenal poster on my wall was an illustration of David Rowcastle. When I was a kid, playing football in the park, whether it was those full-on 13-a-sides I used to love so much, or just endless games of three-and-in with friends, the player I imagined myself as was David Rocky Rowcastle. Ultimately, it was through Rowcastle that I really fell in love with the Arsenal, which I suppose is a little ironic, because Rocky's combination of skill, strength, subtlety and imagination was fairly unique in George Graham's Arsenal teams. Then again, even the greatest of teams have one player that stands out from the crowd. Barcelona have Messi, and 10 years ago we had Thierry Henry. 25 years ago we had David Rowcastle. The best statistics of David's Arsenal career, 23 goals in 228 games from 1984 to 1992, do not quite tell the story of why it is that Rocky is still so revered nearly 25 years after he left the club. To put those figures into context, Robert Pires, another number 7, used to score around 20 goals a season, every season. Nor can this reverence be explained purely by Rocky's tragically premature death at the age of 33 in 2001. The globalisation of football has largely been a good thing. Certainly without it, Arsenal's last two decades would look very different. However, it does mean that the days of someone being able to proceed directly from the North Bank to the pitch are all but at an end. Nor is it likely these days that a whole group of extremely talented youngsters will come through the ranks of a big club, kicking the door of the first team dressing room down to steal pegs from their elders. In the mid-80s, there was such a group of players. They may not have all come through at exactly the same time, but they did make massive contributions to Arsenal Football Club. Only Manchester United in the early 90s have been able to produce a group to rival these guys in the 30 intervening years. That sounds like I'm overstating it, doesn't it? Look at the names and think again. Martin Keown, Tony Adams, Paul Merson, Michael Thomas, David Rowcastle. During their time at the club, all of these men became club legends. They also got just what it meant to represent Arsenal. You only have to listen to Martin Keown and Tony Adams, perhaps even Paul Merson, talking about the club to see that. Sadly, we have been denied the chance to hear what David might have thought about the club he once served with such distinction, but we do have this quote: remember who you are, what you are, and who you represent. Aside from the fact that these words should be engraved, embossed or stenciled in large point letters in our home dressing room, these are also words which seem to hark back to a different era, to when footballers cared about their image and the image of the clubs they represented. It's hard to imagine, for example, Rowcastle breaking out, "What do you think of Tottenham?" as Jack Wilshere did after Arsenal's cup final victories in 2014 and 2015.
What do we think of Tottenham?
Shit!
What do we think
of
shit?
Tottenham!
Thank you!
Yes, all right! Yes,
Tottenham!
No, whilst he loved Arsenal, Rocky didn't need to show it in that way. Everyone who played with or knew him testifies to what a lovely guy he was. He did show it, however, in a fateful meeting with George Graham in the summer of 1992. Greeted with the news that the Arsenal board had accepted an offer for him from Leeds United, Rowcastle did what you, me or anyone who loves this football club would have done at being told he was no longer wanted. He broke down and he cried.
He was actually in tears because that was the day that Arsenal decided that he could go up to speak to Leeds.
I couldn't believe they sold him.
I can still remember arriving at the house of my friend Gabriel and being told that Arsenal was selling Rowcastle. I refused to believe him until he showed me the news on teletext. I think this was the first time Arsenal broke my heart in selling a player, although it wouldn't be the last. Never mind the brown envelopes, I'm not sure I ever really forgave Graham for selling him, even if he was perhaps proved right to do so in the end. Of course David's departure wouldn't have mattered so much to me had he not been such an exciting player to watch. My first prolonged exposure to him came courtesy of my uncle. Well, more accurately, my uncle and his VHS of the 1988-89 season review. Yes, that one.
I remember David sitting in my office the day before the boys travelled, and he looked at me and said, Jeremy, said, we're going to win. He said, we're going to win by 2 goals. He said, I believe it'll be 0-0 at half-time. He said, we'll score one fairly early in the second half and then we'll nick a goal near the end.
Watching that review over and over again in a way that I would never ever watch another one, the feats of David Carlisle Rocastle took on a superhuman glow. It was like watching a real-life Roy of the Rovers. For 4 of his goals that season stand out in particular. In a no-way scientific poll of my mates recently, some of whom are not Arsenal fans, we couldn't agree on which one was the best. One fondly remembered the dribble from the halfway line through what seemed like the entire Middlesbrough team before firing home from the edge of the box. I remembered a similar goal against Southampton. Another friend, on the other hand, always one for a power shot, recalled an astonishing goal at Anfield in the League Cup.
Adams, forward towards Smith. Thomas playing it to Rocastle. It struck, oh, a fabulous goal by Rocastle. And there indeed is the equaliser. What a fabulous strike by David Rocastle. Spotted by Michael Thomas, a ball sprayed superbly by him. So little space, but hit with such venom. And Arsenal a level.
I have to confess that this goal was so special that it actually took me years, years and years of playing football myself to realise just how good a goal it actually was. Taking a pass from Michael Thomas on the edge of the penalty area, Rocky took one touch to control the ball. With his next touch, in almost the same movement, he smashed the ball into the far corner of the goal. Young, naive me couldn't understand what all the fuss was about. But with 25 years' experience behind me, I now realise the truth behind Martin Tyler's cry. Well, where did he get the power from? It was pure technique. Another demonstration of Rocky's superb technique, albeit a less forceful one, came at Aston Villa. This one is my absolute favourite. Collecting Nigel Spink's punch out of the Aston Villa goal about 10 yards outside the penalty area, Rocky promptly returned it with interest. One touch to set himself, another one to send a pitching wedge of a shot over the keeper, just under the bar, rolling down the back of the net. The thing I really loved about this goal, except its perfect role, was the way it left the Villa defender, Derek Mountfield, having failed in an attempt to clear the danger, hanging from the net. Perhaps the finest moment of Rocky's career, apart from his late goal to win the Littlewoods Cup semi-final at Spurs in 1987, would come at Anfield in the last match of that 1989 season. I don't know if you remember anything about this game, other than the immortal final 2 minutes, but I watched it a while back. Watching it 20 years on, I was struck by two things. One was the weird way that the tension grew as the denouement approached, even though I knew the ending. The second thing was the sheer ferocity of the encounter. I can't imagine that, had this game taken place today, it would have finished with 22 players still on the pitch. Players were smashing into tackles all over the place, and a 22-year-old Rocky was no exception.
I never forget the days when we used to play Nottingham Forest and Stuart Pearce. They had some run-ins over the years.
Rocky used to relish it. He used to just shake his hand, you know, rub his hand and go, here we go again.
That was Rocky. He was fearless.
I don't think we've had too many youngsters since then who would have relished the battle in the way that Rocky did. Evidence? Check his expression just after he wins the free kick that leads to the first goal. Not for nothing, I suppose, was he known as Rocky. In 1991, Arsenal would regain the league title that they had relinquished back to Liverpool a year previously. More significantly, in September of that year, I finally managed to get myself to Highbury and watch my heroes in the flesh. I've never forgotten how it felt to see the facade of the East End rising up out of the North London brickwork and into the blue sky. I get goosebumps just thinking about it now. Nor have I forgotten my delight that during a 5-2 win against Sheffield United, later dismissed by George Graham as too cavalier, my hero scored a goal. What turned out to be the winning goal, in fact. It felt like he had scored it just for me. Further proof of his godlike status. The next time Arsenal took to the field, they would have a new recruit within the ranks. Ian Wright had planted his flag on the English football landscape with an unforgettable cameo in the 1990 FA Cup final. Now, this 27-year-old, a native of the same Broccoli estate as Rocky, had joined forces with his old mate. Speaking to me in April 15 for the Daily Cannon website, Ian said that once Arsenal had come in for him, nothing could have turned my head from Arsenal because David Rodcastle was there.
So once Arsenal came, that was it for me because David Rodcastle was there. So it was not even a case of like, there's nothing could have made me turn my head. Nothing could have turned my head from Arsenal.
I think that tells you just what Wrighty thought of his friend. On his league debut for the club, Wrighty bagged himself a hat-trick with Rocky adding the other goal in a 4-1 win at Southampton. What did Wrighty think about this dreamlike debut?
Greatest 90 minutes of my whole life was my league debut against Southampton when David Rodcastle, me and two Broccoli boys, grew up on the same estate. We beat Southampton, I think, 4-0. David scored the first and I scored a hat-trick, and that was the greatest 90 minutes of my life.
This was a man who scored in three different FA Cup final matches, winning one of them. He scored 185 goals for Arsenal and was on the field for one of England's most heroic performances in recent times, the 1997 draw in Rome with which we sealed qualification for the 98 World Cup finals. Yet his greatest 90 minutes was the one in which both he and his childhood friend had scored for Arsenal. It has been well documented how the two friends stayed up all night after Ian signed for Arsenal, talking about what a great club it was. Perhaps it was then that Rocky told Wrighty that if he could score against Spurs, then he would be in for life. This was something he knew about, of course. Of course, Ian did score, and after that, plus another 184 goals for the club, Ian was very much in for life with the Arsenal faithful. Sadly, Wrighty wouldn't get to play with his friend for much longer, as David was to be sold at the end of that season. George Graham believed that a knee injury had robbed Rodcastle of a crucial yard of pace. However, in the 8 months that the two friends had together, Rocky would produce a couple of moments for the Arsenal fans to remember him by.
Missed completely by Webb. Rodcastle, a central figure again. And he looks to trick Schmeichel. And it's in! A goal for Arsenal! David Rodcastle! A goal greatly appreciated on the Arsenal bench. David Rodcastle, it's been a renaissance for him this season after a couple of years, and he's really been out of sorts. But this was vintage Rodcastle, getting the better of Robson to start with, seeing where Schmeichel was, walking the ball under him, off the bar, off the goalkeeper and in.
An outrageous goal at Manchester United came after he danced through three challenges before chipping the ball over Peter Schmeichel's head from 30 yards. Okay, so the ball went in off Schmeichel's head, but that, in this case, is a very minor detail. Another goal against Manchester United, slightly less spectacular this time, was to be Rodcastle's last for the club. Ian Wright springing United's offside trap, and then breaking down the right before crossing to the back post for David to slide the ball home. That game, with Arsenal's title defence in tatters, marked the beginning of a 17-game unbeaten run, a run that ended with Arsenal just missing out on European football in the next season. It's difficult to imagine now that a player could leave us for the Champions of England and keep his reputation intact, but I think everyone knows that David never wanted to leave Arsenal. However, he did, and in the process became Leeds United's most expensive signing. Despite the price tag, he couldn't displace the evergreen Gordon Strachan. A combination of injuries and the form of Strachan, Gary Speed, David Batty and Gary McAllister meant that David never really got going. After a year and a half in West Yorkshire, David upsticks and joined Manchester City, but he didn't last too long there either. He returned to the capital, joining Chelsea just before the start of the 1994 season. I always looked out for David at this time, and it was sad to watch his drift down the league with only an incredible stud role to keep me warm. His decline seemed as inexorable as it was inevitable. After Chelsea and a couple of loan spells came the Malaysian League, which seemed a ridiculous place for a player with David's gifts.
You know, even in times of tremendous adversity, there was the smile.
I remember when I saw him one time, and he came here, and he just looked really, really bad. And I think that's when I knew that he was going to die.
On the 1st of April 2001, at a bus stop in Greengates, West Yorkshire, came the shattering news of his death. I was on the way home after my then-girlfriend's birthday celebrations and had picked up a paper to read up about the Arsenal-Spurs game. All thoughts of the game immediately became irrelevant. I can still remember the devastation I felt.
He was a complete player. In a way, he can defend, attack and score goals.
Not a day goes by when I don't think of him and I miss him dearly.
He touched me deeply, like a little brother that I love and miss so much.
I suppose in some way it was fitting that his passing was observed impeccably by the supporters of Tottenham Hotspur as well as Arsenal that day. After all, it was against Tottenham that Rocky had first made his mark, with that semi-final winner 14 years previously.
O'Leary with the kick. Deep, deep one. Quinn hoping to get on the end of it. It comes for Allinson. Driven first time. It might go anyway. Rocastle! Arsenal are through to Wembley.
To add further resonance to the occasion, the wearer of the number 7 for Arsenal that day, Robert Pires, had scored the winning goal. Perhaps this day marked the birth of Pires as an Arsenal legend. A few weeks later, I headed back to London on the weekend of the Arsenal-Leeds game, nursing a vague notion of picking up tickets for the match. As it happened, Becky, my then girlfriend, and I ended up in the 12 pins in Finsbury Park, watching the game on television. Early in the second half, some Leeds fans arrived and, being resident in Leeds ourselves, we got chatting to them. They'd been thrown out of the Clock End for fighting, and were for some reason surprised by this. But they saw my Arsenal shirt with Rocky 7 on the back, and one of them asked, "Is that for David Rocastle?" I replied that it was, and they said, "Respect." We all got a bit misty-eyed then. Rocky had only played for their club briefly and some time ago, but they remembered, they knew. We all still remember and know today. Every year the anniversary of David Rocastle's death is commemorated in some way by Arsenal fans, wherever they may be, nearly 25 years after he left the club. Oh, Rocky, Rocky, will still break out periodically at Arsenal matches. The player is forever immortalised as one of the 32 embracing the walls of Arsenal Stadium. He's up there with Henry, Wright, Pires, Adams, Bergkamp, Vieira and the rest, and that's exactly as it should be. Gone, but never ever forgotten, David Rocastle, an Arsenal legend.
He was always happy to sign something for the fans, always. That's why the fans still sing his name now. Loved him, loved him.
You know, the fans adored him. He was the first name that they sung, you know, as you ran out onto the pitch. It was Rocky, Rocky Rocastle, you know.
This has been David Rocastle, part of the Arsenal Greatest Number 7s for Daily Cannon. Read by Paul Williams, edited by Lee Hurley. Clips pinched from YouTube. If you like what we're doing here, there's a couple of things that you can do to help us out. They won't cost you any money. All you have to do, leave us a review in iTunes or whatever podcast app that you use. That can be a great help. Tell some friends about us and visit the website at dailycannon.com. Thanks again.